Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Daniel Lindroth, Sarah Egan, Judith Taylor, Vivian Chin, Rick Crossman. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to episode 63 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
And I didn't drop my pencil. Who are you playing?
Subversion McGuffigan.
Hamidsullah Harun Al-Taham.
Sasha Rackett.
Zolf Smith.
And you have all had a nice time. Fine.
More episodes of nice things.
Yeah. No.
More episodes of sitting, watching scenery while we drink wine.
Really, really not having a nice time.
Continues to watch scenery successfully.
you can spot the mountain.
Ooh. Critical fail. I look too closely at the scenery. It hits the ship. We crash. No. So, quick rundown of where we have been. After escaping Paris, mm-hmm. ditching Wild on the way because you're on a separatist ship. People who are kind of anti-meritocrats.
Oh my.
Finding out that Zolf's parents were part of a secret society of anti-meritocrats called the Harlequins.
Yep.
Finding out that Sasha's once benefactor Rakevine, also a member of the Harlequins. And you are currently on your way to Prague because, very, very kind of her, the ship's captain has agreed to take you. And I'm going to stop saying ship's captain because you all have figured it out quite easily.
Yeah, Amelia Earhart.
That it's Amelia Earhart. And she is happily diverting to Prague for you because Harlequins look out for other Harlequins, apparently.
And we saw in the distance an enormous dragon.
Oh, minor detail. Minor detail.
Of it possibly just burning Paris to the ground.
Well, minor details.
And the cliffhanger at the end of the previous
cliffhanger,
episode.
Cliffhanger, yeah. Harrison Campbell has the famed romantic novelist that Zolf has a real, real passion for.
Author of When Passions Collide, which
correct.
Bertie still has in his inventory.
Yeah.
Passions is a euphemism. they just slap together, as what passions do.
So, Harrison Campbell has been avoiding you the entire trip because he remembers you even if you didn't originally remember him. First, you are now in his room. You were going to do a search around. Firstly, give me a wisdom check.
15.
Which is surprisingly good for Bertie.
It took a while, and it took a moment of stillness and calmness to realise, you know what? This chap who was talking to you on the train, it's only the one that wrote that passions thing that Zolf keeps going on about. It's the same guy, isn't it? Oh,
I
God.
I love that quiet moment. Quiet 6 hours. Yeah. Sitting in a room and waiting.
That is Bertie.
Processing time is a fighter.
Way more than 20.
If you wanted him to figure it out faster, you should have made the room colder and he'd conduct electricity faster. As it stands, you realising this as you are just searching through the personal effects of Harrison Campbell. Mm. Roll me a perception check.
16.
Good rolls from you when searching other people's things. So,
in a completely non-critical situation.
When the chips are down on your plate and they're delicious chips, Bertie rolls adequately. Nom 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 chips.
Digging through, you find he has a traveller's trunk. In that trunk, there are a bunch of clothes which wouldn't fit you, and they're not particularly elaborate or glamorous in any way,
rubbish.
Really.
Nonsense.
Yeah, garbage. There are 2 smaller chests in that trunk. They are both locked. They are both roughly, say, the length of a forearm, mm-hmm. something like that. So they're small-ish chests that you could physically take from the room, but you can't open unless you just smash them.
The size of a lavishly illustrated collector's edition.
Do they look in any way like suspicious? Is this the sort of thing that one would expect to find in a trunk of this type? Care about this sort of person?
You know what? You have travelled previously before the money ran out. It one of them looks like it's probably some kind of safe box, including money, mm-hmm. and another one looks like another safe box.
I think Bertie's only really searching because he's bored. Like, mm-hmm. he's not actually trying to steal anything.
You also find a large collection of papers that are in the trunk as well, which are kept in a folder.
Bertie starts reading the papers.
They're mostly quite boring. There are a few letters that he hasn't sent yet to family, friends, mm-hmm. things like that. It appears that
met this awful man on the train.
Funny you should say that. Yeah. One of them is that letter. It is met this incredibly awful person, had brilliant idea. I'll tell you more. It is to their publisher. And as it stands, there's nothing of there of particular import for you, really.
Tell me more about this brilliant idea that's being had.
It just says, you would not believe the journey that I have had from Dover to Paris. Let me just tell you that whilst I may have had one of the worst journeys of my entire life, at least it's given me some ammunition for the next one. So I'm sending over a draft, and I'm really hoping that you'll give it a look over. I think I'll be able to crack this one out fairly quickly.
Okay, Bertie, at this point, like if this was cinema, he would be reading the letter, and it would be held up to his nose, so you'd only see his eyes. Then his eyes would narrow. He'd flip down the top of the letter. He'd go, Campbell. And he'd put the letter quietly back in, and he's going to start looking around for Harrison Campbell quite deliberately now.
Okay, cool. In which case, this is still the evening of your second day on the ship, because you just slept through the entire first day.
That we did.
Give me a perception check.
6.
A very Bertie roll.
I am going to skip ahead too. It is the next morning, you are all in the lounge, you failed to find Campbell, and eventually got bored and went to bed.
Oh, fine. At some point...
You searched thoroughly.
Yeah. Bertie's going to pick up and start questioning members of staff and crew who are mucking around.
They haven't seen him either. Just blanking, none of them's really been paying attention and they don't know. They say places that you've already been if you check the lounge. Mm. Like, he's probably in his quarters, like nothing useful. Plebs.
All right, so Sasha goes to bed and everything, whatever. But when she goes up for breakfast, she just grabs some stuff and goes up to the deck mm-hmm. and is looking for a nice nook to sit in far away where, say, Bertie or Zolf wouldn't find her.
Give me a perception check.
Oh, that's definitely a 6. It's got the line underneath in it.
That's why I swapped you to that die.
Hooray! Okay, so that's 15.
15. You find this really, really nice little nook right at the front of the ship. There is a really small, shivering figure hunched there and shaking.
All right, mate. Are you all right? I mean, all right. Yep. Yeah, just look. I'm a bit distracted right now. Don't worry.
They look up. It is a approaching middle-aged gentleman who's comparatively well-dressed but has a haunted look in his eyes and is shivering from the cold, and it's readily apparent to you that he slept rough on the deck all of last night.
Oh my lord, are you a stowaway?
No, it's fine, everything's fine. I just bracing air and
you want to go downstairs?
No, I do not. No, I am really great. I tell you what, he reaches out and non-threateningly kind of reaches for your wrist and sort of gesturing and pulling you in just out of sight of the stairwell, you know, pulling you closer.
All right, are you this is obviously the, like, this wakes up the inner light, so stealth sitting. Oh, you can see it's like she's sat in a corner like a shadow of the other side of the corner. like the shadow that you would exactly expect to be there from the way that the light is hitting it. You know, if you ever had to colour in objects as part of your GCSE art. So
you look like a cross hatching.
Yes. Okay. Just look exactly like, oh, flat against the thing.
Right. Sasha, form of artful shading. You see that on closer inspection, what he's actually wearing is his normal clothes, a dressing gown and a smoking jacket over the top. And he's like, no, it's absolutely fine. I'm just going to stay here. I mean, we'll be in Prague soon, aren't I right? I hear we've been redirected.
It's going to be another like day, mate. You know what? I'm going to go get you a blanket.
No, don't go to any trouble. It's fine. I mean, it's time to think, you know.
There's nothing else for me to do on this ship, right? So I'm just going to... I'll get you a blanket. She goes and gets him a blanket.
Okay.
Ooh, roll. Does she succeed?
Yeah.
Find a blanket. Mini quest!
It is obviously the final day, the final definite day of your journey. What are all of you doing with your time? I'm going to start with Zolf.
I'm going to try and get everyone together so we can actually have a chat.
Okay.
You can't find me because I'm sitting with Harrison Campbell in a niche.
Well, you don't get to tell him, he might find you. What are you intending for the rest of the day?
Just chatting to this guy for
chilling.
A while. Yeah.
A little bit of villain.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Brent.
Relaxing, continuing to enjoy the journey.
Yep. And Bertie.
It's more important than the destination.
Yes. We've got a very chill vibe. I'm going to try and see how far we can push this. Bertie?
Careful.
chill vibes. I'm going to start with, let's give me a perception check, Zolf.
22.
You are very easily find Sasha couched with Campbell. So,
will you recognise Campbell?
No, absolutely not. You've never seen an image of him.
I recognise his name.
Yeah. So, yes, I mean, honestly, the whole investigative element of the job is quite fun, but honestly, you meet as many people who you'd rather avoid than people who you'd rather write about.
Trust me, mate, I know how it is. I really do. You know, there's some people who, like, they drive, stuff goes on around them.
And they just drive it off the rails, right?
Yeah, you
Sasha,
don't necessarily
Sasha,
want to be
hey.
That near.
Hey,
I'm just talking to this guy. He's telling me about his writing.
All right, cool, nice to meet you.
And you?
Yeah, just was going to get people together so we can actually talk about our plans for when we get to Prague.
Right, you want to talk to, like, Collide? And it's cool. This guy's just, it's really interesting hearing about his passion for his job.
Oh, that was funny.
It's, yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Anyway, don't let me keep you, honestly. You should,
no,
you
no,
should
no,
go.
No, no,
just,
no, no, no.
Actually,
you
bear
take
with me.
Care.
He reaches out, grabs Zolf. Closer, if you're going to be here, he's going to pull you closer behind the bulkhead.
Sorry, mate, I don't know.
No, it's okay, it's just, you know.
What are you doing out here?
Oh, it's just bracing.
You look frozen.
No, frozen is blue, I'm just pale.
I don't know if he's got his own reasons for not going below deck. I don't know, maybe it's like reverse seasickness.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, it's that. If I'm not on deck, I just queasy.
If you stay out here, you're going to do yourself some damage.
No, it's all right. I've got this lovely blanket.
You are.
No, it's fine.
You just are.
Out of curiosity, you said that you were all going to have a meeting. Would that be in the lounge, or would you be doing that somewhere else on the ship? Idle curiosity.
Probably in like someone's room, I guess.
It's
so
kind of a whole load of none of your business.
Oh, yeah. It's fair enough. I mean, people like what, 5-10 minutes, something like that.
What?
Oh, great. Okay, cool. No, you have a great time.
Why are you asking? Yeah. Hey, hang on a minute. Why are you asking us all these weird questions?
Oh, I just wouldn't want to get in your way.
No, what's your game?
he takes a moment and looks genuinely concerned because, like, what we do forget is you do have a certain like hardcore vibe about you with the beard, the new incredibly weird legs, and built with it and everything. Yeah. And
but in long johns.
But in long johns, obviously. Because you didn't want the
got
help.
A random
clothes.
Stolen sword.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did. Actually.
Long johns.
You're up on the freezing deck with like wind chill, and this man is like really struggling in three layers, and you're there in basically like long pants.
Dwarves, am I right?
Yeah.
Dwarf of constitution.
He's, yeah, he's just.
His
form genuinely,
save is ridiculous.
He's genuinely a bit threatened by you. He goes, honestly, I didn't mean anything by it. I just.
Guy's just panicking.
I was gonna go get some food whilst the rest of you weren't. That's all it was.
Why we are? What you avoid? What?
I honestly, it's fine. I'll stay out your way. I apologise. I'll just stay here.
Problem.
It's fine. It's fine. Sasha, you get it. It's fine. I'll just.
Yeah, he's just. This guy seems to have some anxiety about like maybe clothes.
You know what it is? Social anxiety. This is as many people as I can handle at once. That's all it is. Honestly, and one more person here, I'd completely lose my lid. Ooh.
Yeah, you. We've got someone travelling us with. I can imagine you really not.
You know
like
what? I bet you do.
Yeah.
I bet you do. And basically, I'm.
Wait,
I'm
hang on a minute. You're not one of Bertie's exes, are you?
No, God, gosh. No, no, I've heard about this Bertie fellow, yes. No, I promise you, all I want to do right now is be alone. That's
well, there
I
you are, Toph. That explains it. Someone would, I can imagine, a random member of the public would be totally willing to put themselves in physical arm's way to stay out of the area of Mr. McGuffinham.
Thinking about it, you're right. That does make total sense.
It actually really does.
I do apologise for any inconvenience. Look, I was just going to sneak some food, basically, from the galley whilst you were.
You should do that. We'll meet in a room, right? A non-lounge
That's
room.
That's really good of you,
yeah,
Sasha.
Get inside, mate.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll give it. I'll give you 10 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'll go to my cabin, I guess.
Yeah.
And we'll jump ahead to.
Bertie's been spending most of the day up to this point looking.
It's still breakfast.
It's still breakfast. He's still been doing it. He's a man with a mission now.
I guess. Do you want a roll perception?
Yeah. Well, he's done the.
Give me a perception.
Lounge floor.
I mean, you did. You.
Four.
That's why I knew.
It was like you did roll
you know
a six.
What?
He was like,
not
yeah,
only has Campbell disappeared, only everyone apart from Hammond as well.
What?
It's probably catching.
Catching invisibility.
That's how it works, right? I am going to skip ahead.
Computer, what is the crew complement for a ship of this size?
You didn't pass it to the specific crew member on the deck who's the only one who...
I was talking to Mr. Computer, you know, the barman.
So.
Yeah, wait. Maybe they jumped off the ship. Maybe they're dangling below.
That is
by
the answer.
Guidelines, and only you can rescue them.
He hears Sasha's voice in his head saying exactly this.
I am skipping ahead. You are all in one of the rooms, whether by hook or by crook. I leave it to your good judgment how you manage to corral everyone, but they're there.
Dolph seems to appear out of nowhere and shout at you for not being in a place which
you are in Zolf's room.
Okay.
Together.
Probably got less than a day. Need to kind of sort ourselves out. I suppose he could have clambered out of a porthole.
What?
No, nothing. Carry on. Let's get sentence out.
So there was that, you know, that one that got away that we got from the automaton message.
A certain persona non grata said he would attempt to meet us again in Prague.
Yes.
But our only lead so far is the university, basically.
Suppose he could have clambered down amongst the engine room. While Hammond is saying that, I'm just going to walk slowly over to a cabin door and then open it suddenly.
What you see is an incredibly cold, like, frost on the outside of his smoking jacket, Campbell, who you don't recognise as such, going down the corridor. He's halfway going into the lounge, and he's holding, basically, as many croissants as he can fit in one arm, and you just caught him surreptitiously out of the room. He sees you, closes the door and starts padding away back up to the deck.
Bertie is so deep in thought about where might be that he doesn't spot
you are
him.
Inside a room, that door has been opened and he is down a corridor, unless you physically get up and poke your head out.
Well, why is... What? Mr. Smith, what's outside? What are you...
Close the door. Nothing, I was just checking. Remember where we are and what we're talking about?
Very wise. Very wise, Mr. Smith. Yes. So, all is on it.
Right, so... We probably shouldn't go into too much detail, but...
Yeah. We head for the university.
Yes.
and we buy some things, because I don't know about you.
You are just in underwear, really.
I have just been in underwear, yes.
Yeah, this whole time.
We certainly have a few things really, to sell as well.
I really hope that anyone that might have been sketching any of the things that are happening just has to, you know, just rub out some of that, redraw, oh, Zolfa's been in underwear the whole time.
Well, I'm quite fond of this pair of underwear.
The cat didn't seem to take a bit of a shine to you. I'm surprised she didn't offer you some clothing or some equipment of some kind.
She did.
And you
said no!
So you just like going around in underwear?
I suppose he could be swinging under the ship. Maybe he's attached to guy line.
I just don't want to have any sort of connection to somebody as dangerous as her.
Well, some of us happen to be quite dangerous, Zolf. And we take that personally.
I don't know why you would. Anyway.
It's fine to be dangerous, isn't it, Hamid? You can make things go on fire. He's lovely.
Just a brief echo for the listeners. Hamid killed a man. Yeah. Just downright killed a man.
Only bad things.
Yeah.
Hamid Crow's fist is always an option, I suppose.
All of us, despite current mumbling appearances, are quite dangerous.
It's not about the dangerous. I do not trust her. I do not trust her, and I don't trust her weird cults that she's part of.
That you're part of?
No, that I'm not part of, that my dad was part of.
That's not how it works. You can't inherit membership of a cult. It's not a genetic thing.
Yeah.
Perhaps he's in disguise somewhere.
I'm just saying, I think you're very reluctant to accept gifts from people, Zolf. And I just
yes.
think we don't always know the situation. It's good to be prepared. And part of being prepared is having what you need.
Like having clothes!
I did absolutely fine, I think you'll find, in this situation when we were leaving Paris.
Zolf, you got...
Yeah!
You were in your pants.
Her giving me a jacket ain't gonna help, is it?
Might help with the cold. I guess you don't feel the cold, really, do you, very much?
Not really, but I don't know why you'd make that assumption.
Oh, racist.
He could be any one of us.
Well, just, I thought a lot of time on ships. I mean, every time I've been on a ship, they're a bit cold.
Yeah, nice backpacking habit.
It's
totally a ship thing.
Backpacking what?
It's totally a pirate thing, not a dwarf thing.
Right, let's just put this conversation to bed.
Sailors tend to be quite resistant to
the
elements.
Bringing this back onto the rails.
Yeah, Hamid, good save.
Anyway.
Winks so hard.
I don't understand.
But she, like I, am crying with laughter.
Bertie stands up and points at Zolf. Jack Hughes! Harrison Campbell!
What? Why would Harrison Campbell be on this ship?
Well, I mean, what? He is.
What?
What?
Who's Harrison Campbell?
Where is Harrison Campbell?
You don't know who Harrison Campbell is?
And I think we'll take a break there and be back in a couple of minutes.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With ACAST, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hey everyone, Alex here with an exciting short story for you. Aren't you lucky? Once upon a time, in the long, long ago, there was a podcast and it was called Rusty Quill Gaming. It was brilliant, came out on a weekly schedule and everybody loved it. But eventually, it was just too difficult to keep making so much amazing content so quickly, and the young, modest, devilishly handsome host and GM Alex was forced to move the podcast to a fortnightly schedule. Everyone was quite sad, but not too sad, as it was still coming out regularly and was still really good. However, one day, some brave sound editors joined the party, and then loads of people started donating money to the cause via Patreon in exchange for excellent bonus content. Finally, after lots of hard work and generosity, the young, modest, devilishly handsome host and GM Alex was happy to announce that Rusty Quill Gaming was returning to a weekly schedule, and there was much rejoicing. And they all lived happily ever after, until the entire party was killed in a critical fail that was James's fault. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the rest of today's episode, and we'll be with you again next week.
And welcome back.
Why would I know Harrison Campbell?
Well, he's only one of the greatest authors who's ever lived.
The author of When Passions Collide and its sequel, When Passions Slap Wetly Against Each Other.
Wait, sequel? There isn't a sequel.
There is, and there's going to be a sequel to that. A horrendously written, whatever the negative form of a hagiography is, hatchet job. About the world's most heroic adventurer, a thinly disguised Sir Bertrand MacGuffingham.
Where did you meet Harrison Campbell?
I mean, you met Harrison Campbell.
No, I didn't.
He's just a shivery man.
That was Harrison Campbell?
Shivery man?
When? Who? What?
Why?
I mean,
like a human.
What is going on
when
here?
Shivering.
Well, like this. Okay, so Harrison Campbell, right? He writes just the most amazing romance novels. Like, seriously, you need... Bertie's got one.
They
are
very
good. Give it to me. I only got halfway through. I don't actually know what's going to happen to Vera. What, I don't know if she ends up with Andy or anything. I don't know.
Is this like L'Alliance en Dangereux or something?
I'm not. What?
The greatest romance novel ever written.
I think you'll find With the Passion of the Sun is the greatest romance novel ever written.
What?
With the Passion of the Sun.
There's two of them actually, spelt both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because one is about the sequel, right? Is about the original couple's son. Right? And he's very passionate, so it's a genius piece of work.
It doesn't sound like literature as such.
What? Look, I'm not going to have any of your gatekeeping here, all right? You know, it's literature. It's art. This is art.
I mean, it's not quite Shakespeare, is it?
Hard cut to.
You're right, there aren't enough twins and gender bending.
All
who's sphere?
Whoa!
Hard cut to all four of you are now... for reasons we won't mention, at four opposite parts of the ship.
I cannot believe that they went in.
I'm hanging out with
Harrison. I will let you pick where, but nonetheless, you are not all together.
Sasha's going to take advantage of the Z-axis in his plot and be in the crow's nest.
Yep. Right, and there is someone up there. It is a really nice gnome who is the youngest member of the crew. It's the job for the most junior member.
Yeah.
And he offers you hot cocoa, a big fur coat, and you are both being warmed by a brazier.
Yeah. I tell him all about the gargoyles.
He's super into it.
It's like, yeah, no, it's being on the top of things, like you meet the most interesting people, right?
Tell you what, not a single gargoyle in the States. It's weird.
Not a single
one? No, like you see it's an old world film. Yeah.
Is there like any other kind of creature or thing that's filled in that evolutionary niche? So like, you know, birds that are really slow. You know, like there's a space for something.
There is, it's called a rock.
It actually is like a lightning bird, like the Native American lightning bird.
Oh yeah, no, they're a nightmare. Tell you what, you do not want to be in a ship when that's happening. Bounce across to Hamid.
I'm back in the lounge.
Okay.
I have found one dog-eared copy of a Harrison Campbell novel on the lounge's bookshelves, and I am reading it with the most disgusted look on my face.
The dowdy woman who doesn't approve of any of you is back in the lounge reading her slim volume, sees what you're reading, gives a...
But she can also see my face.
Yeah, but nonetheless, she still sees it, gives a... and then carries on reading with a bit of a sneer.
Which volume has Hamid picked up?
You tell me, Hamid.
Yeah, Hamid, tell us. No pressure.
God, I hate you guys.
one night in Jodhpur.
The cliffs... Two nights in Jodhpur's.
Yeah! Yeah! That's better. That's it. Two nights in Jodhpur's. There we go.
Bertie, what are you doing?
Bertie's worked out that if Harrison Campbell is cold, he's not in the hot engine room, which is down.
Yes.
He's in the top bit, in the sky place, which is cold. So he's gone up to the deck. He's taking his time.
Bertie has altitude sickness. He's searching.
He's searching every nook and cranny, very slowly, even places that really, very obviously aren't going to have him there. Like he's picking up a rope and looking under a rope. He's taking 20 to search the top deck to find Harrison.
Is he going to try and climb up the rigging in full plate armour?
No.
He's foolish, not suicidal. I am going to have to do a roll. Bear with me. We will return to what you're doing later.
Yes, because if you take 20, you get 19.
No,
because it's a single roll of 20.
You may have spotted why I'm rolling. Zolf, what are you doing?
I'm in the lounge behind Hamid, ignoring him, because he obviously doesn't know what he's talking about, debating with myself whether I should go and try and find Harrison Campbell. The whole like, thing of like, oh, I really want to do it, but maybe... oh, no, but I'm going to make an absolute fool of myself. I could ask you about that sequel, but no. Play it cool, all right? You can't. Don't embarrass yourself. Muttering to myself.
Okay.
Indecisively.
Bertie, you decide the best way to search the top deck is systematically. Mm-hmm. So you start at the very, very, very back of the vessel.
The stern.
Yes, look at you.
Yes.
One step ahead of the GM.
And... begin looking, character. Also looking over the sides of the ship and everything else, getting in the way of the person who's staring, lifting people's hats. Campbell! Even though they're a gnome.
Lifting the gnome up, checking the underside of the gnome. Definitely a gnome.
He might have disguised himself as a gnome.
No, it's all right. The bottom says made in gnome.
Yeah. You lift up the
lid. That is a super racist tattoo for a gnome. That really is.
She's over their legs accordion out like, you're actually a human!
So, as you work your way further forward, the crew are getting more and more irritated with you, but the captain seems to like you, so they let it slide. You finally make it forward. Oh, by the way, Sasha, you, over the period, can see him zigzagging forward, closer and closer to where Campbell is.
Occasionally drop things
it keeps
on his head.
What?
It's like, all we've got is maybe, like, crumbs from a baguette.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, you know, just...
the bread, yeah.
Dink!
Conkers.
Campbell, hearing the commotion, looks, and you see him see Bertie and pull back and freeze and start trying to figure out where to go. And you can see him. It's like watching a pheasant when they're in that kind of hunt. And it's like, do I fly or do I stay? Fly or stay? Fly or stay? Fly
or
stay?
At the last moment, Sasha is going to shout something to Bertie. All right! Bertie! Bertie! Bertie!
Do I hear that in that far away?
Genuinely get me a perception roll. Yeah.
No! Critical fail!
Natural one! No, you do not. At the very, very last second, Campbell makes a dash for it into your breastplate because he waited too long, and you are stood over Campbell, frozen, shivering, with a pile of croissant that are stale and hard around him, looking up at you as a slightly broken man. Hello!
Ah! Mr. Campbell.
Hello, sir.
Pleasure
sir
to see you again.
You.
Now, a more paranoid man might think that he was being deliberately avoided. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right to drop that croissant.
You know it's not a croissant that he dropped.
Well, the reason it made such a rattly sound is it's frozen, whatever
yes,
it is.
Yeah. Been out here a while, have we?
Oh, you know, just taking the air.
Yeah, quite a lot of air here, isn't there?
Yeah, loads.
Nowhere there's more air. Slightly overboard.
No.
At this point, Bertie, he gets the... is Campbell already clipped on?
He is clipped on, yes.
Bertie picks him up and chucks him over the side.
Campbell screams as he goes over the side, catches on the guideline, and again slams into the side, and he's just screaming, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Bertie holds on to the guideline. And just starts swinging gently from side to side.
Sasha has flown down the rigging.
Yep, that's
and, fine. And knocks Bertie out of the way. Not like trying to actually physically do it, but just to be just sort of
does she succeed?
No, and tries to like grab the rope. So she knows she can't move him physically, but like tries to grab the rope further down the rope than Bertie is holding
it. Now, Ms. Wreckage, now.
You can't do this!
And I was simply discussing a simple matter of literary criticism.
There is an enormous sound of what we would recognise as a gunshot. It echoes across the top of the deck. Boom! And then... you're not going to get a perception check on this one. It's fairly obvious where the noise came from. The captain is stood leaning over the banister of the bit of the deck that her cabin is at, and she has just fired whatever that device was on her hip into the air. There's a big plume of smoke. She calmly reaches down, pulls something from her belt, puts it inside the device, and then points it at yourself and just goes, "Do we have a problem, Sir Bertrand? I'm noticing one of my passengers has fallen overboard. I'm presuming that you're helping him up kindly and in the spirit of goodwill, yes?"
"Oh, of course I am. But I'm also here in the business of preventing crime."
"I see."
"The simple crime prevention measure. The crime, in this case, libel."
She begins strolling down the deck. She's not particularly concerned for someone where there's someone hanging over the side of the boat, but the gun is still...
Yeah.
And the gun is still kind of idly held, bouncing around in the palm, but very clearly pointing at Bertie.
Sasha is trying to has tried to grab the rope further down than Bertie has it, and is trying to pull him up.
The two of you actively working against one another?
Yeah, that, Bertie doesn't want that to happen.
I will just go with opposed combat maneuver checks. Bertie has a certain edge in this one.
What am I rolling?
CMB.
How much is yours?
Seven.
Oh.
Two.
Oh right, I thought I was reading that.
18. Oh,
15. Basically, you find an opportune moment where Bertie is turning, getting annoyed by this captain who's interfering, and you should probably talk to her. She's not a no one, but oh god.
Got to express my frustration. Yeah, there are two sources of frustration. Brain cannot handle two at once. Where does frustration go? Cannot operate brain, mouth, hand, and hat at the same time.
Whilst this is happening, you make eye contact with Campbell.
God, has he swung you?
Yeah. He's looking at you, like, terrified. And the way that you manage to affect this is you calculate what's going on and go, right, yeah. You start swinging him left and right, and you swing him until he reaches an open window that's towards the front of, like, the bow of the ship.
Expecting that it would be natural for everyone to have the dexterity to, while swinging, in terror of your life, grab the porthole and climb through. Obviously, everyone should be able to do that basic thing.
He's absolutely useless and flailing, and, like, on the second try, you're like, what is wrong with you? He's probably hit you or something.
Maybe he's unconscious.
Yeah, someone in the window reaches in, grabs him, you see them unclick up the clip and pull him in. And they look up, see Sasha, and it's one of the crew, and they just give a sort of thumbs up, it's fine, and then close the window with Campbell inside. By the time that Bertie turns back, there's a hanging guideline with no Harrison Campbell on the end of it.
"You see what you did, madam? Now he's fallen to his death! Whose fault's that, eh?"
The captain has seen all of this because it was in clear view of her as she was approaching. "Wow, I guess you're right, Sir Bertrand. You know what? I cannot believe that this happened. So you're saying that that was a thief?"
"Yes."
Well, you know what?
"A thief of reputation, a libeller. Arguably a substantially worse crime than simple property theft. To have one's honour impugned is like a theft of honour."
Well, good riddance. I mean, that's a very impressive thing. Although, I mean, are you sure? It's very easy to hang onto the base of the ship. I mean, the rest of my crew, of course, are incredibly busy, but I'd strongly suspect that he's hanging off the bottom of the ship. She turns around and then, kind of idly waving her gun around, starts heading back to her cabin, going, "I mean, if I had someone insulting me, I'd go to any lengths to check that they'd off this vessel." Whew! Spins the gun, puts it back in her hip, and then steps back into the cabin.
Okay, I want to let the dice make this decision. Bertie wants to make a will save.
I'm going to allow that as a roll. That is a two.
Two.
Okay, Bertie. Eyes narrow. Campbell. One must be sure.
What sort of equipment is there around on the deck for going underneath?
There are harnesses which you could use. It'd probably be a good idea to take your armor off, but not strictly necessary. The crew have already briefed you all on the safety equipment by this point, and it would take the weight, like, it's guaranteed, and you are already guidelined on whilst wearing your armor. So it would be as simple as probably getting a second guideline just in case, flipping that on and then going over. The length is enough that anyone who falls over is hanging sort of at the bottom of the ship. So there's enough give, you wouldn't have to go to any great lengths, as it were.
I would say that possibly Bertie might not realise he needs two guidelines, but as he's peering over the edge, Tasha surreptitiously clips his hands. Just does the calculation. She's like, well, Hamid would be upset.
It's more trouble if he does fall than if he doesn't. Yeah.
His armour's quite valuable.
You wouldn't be able to recover it.
Yeah.
So there's two guidelines now strapped on. Would Bertie be having to do a particular skill check in order to get down there?
Climb check.
Okay, in that case he's taken off his armour.
That's fine.
How it works mechanically, then that would make sense in context.
That's fine.
That is what Bertie is going to do, and he will...
His armour's off now, that's the valuable
thing.
Unclip the guy.
A small hand reaches out.
And Bertie...
Unclips both. Thinks for a second. Reclips one.
Let the dice decide. Bertie stows his armour in a storage thing that would have some sort of, perhaps like a life preserver or something, an aviator equivalent of that. Parachute, there we are. It's a parachute locker, and he puts his armour in the parachute.
Okay, and then climb over, presumably. Give me the roll.
So without this...
huge, great... heffing
minus
great penalty.
Nine check. I've actually got climb skill of 3, but yes.
Yep. Well, you're quite strong.
Yeah. 9, that's 12.
Okay, at 12, so you start climbing over, and the second that you're not on that deck, I'll tell you what, the bow of the ship is breaking a lot of that wind. Woof. Suddenly it's actually significantly different, but not one to lose face. You just carry on, but take the care. So you keep going, you keep climbing down. It's cold as well, properly cold. Yeah. This weak little Campbell fella's probably frozen onto the side.
Campbell! I've got a Booker Prize here for you!
You keep climbing down to the base of the vessel.
Pulitzer all over the place!
There are occasional, like, hand bars on the side of the ship and so on.
Bad sex awards!
Sasha, you see the captain open her door, look at the situation, lean over to a crew member who jogs below deck. This is whilst you're climbing down, which takes a while to do it properly. The crew member jogs back up, and they're holding some kind of vat of something. You don't know what. And they start jogging over. Meanwhile, back to Bertie. You're at the base of the vessel now, and you're dangling over an enormous drop. Mm-hmm. A truly massive drop. You're basically hanging off a plane at this point that's going slowly. I think you're over some kind of lake. It's very pretty. Mm-hmm. It's bitterly, bitterly cold to the point of give me a fort save.
Fort's been pretty impressive, aren't you?
9 plus 7 is 16.
That's fine. This is mostly to determine whether it's affecting your climbing and so on. So you're hanging off the base of the vessel. There's a chance that he might be hanging off the far side of the vessel. It's a big thing. It's probably not worth the effort. At that moment, one of the crew comes over with the vessel, with the container next to Sasha, and they just show it you. All it is what looks like used cooking fat, cold.
Okay, I mean, we do need him.
The crew member just gives a wink and goes, the guidelines are fine. He tips it over the side to where Bertie is. It runs down the side of the vessel and just smack into Bertie. He pulls his head back, and all you hear from the base is someone yelling, cleanup's done, and then heads back inside. You are now covered in grease, and the side of the bit that you climbed down is now also greased.
This is some pretty potent bullying.
Campbell. Bertie, as he's now in quiet, stewing rage, he knows that his answer is still out there.
Now you know that he's above you, right?
He is above me. Mm. Quite like a Campbell to use some sort of cooking fluid.
Nice.
Cream.
So what do you do? It's getting quite cold, especially exacerbated by the fact that you're covered in grease and hanging off the back of an airship.
Well, the front of an airship. The grease is forming one sort of particular line down and now covers him as well, so he's going to move slightly to the side of the line of the grease and attempt to climb back up.
Give me a climb check.
Pull himself up back up the line. Ooh.
The dice, that's five.
Yeah.
You slide off, swing back to where you are. Sasha, you can now just see Bertie's just kind of hanging. He doesn't seem particularly panicked so much as increasingly frustrated.
She goes off to get a snack.
Yeah, probably for best. We'll skip ahead an hour and a half.
All right.
Give me
one. Much better than Bertie was expecting.
Right? Give me one fort save.
One fort save.
10.
Okay, you have... I'm not going to roll the damage because it's just going to heal again by the evening, but you are shivering. Your fingers have seized up and you're cramping.
Is rage.
you're cramping. Finally, the captain leans over and goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Sir Bertrand, I didn't see you there. Oh my goodness, here, let me get someone to help you up." The crew begin hauling Bertie back on the deck and dump you on the side. I am going to cut all the way back to Zolf. At some point during your musings, the man that you met, frozen, starts swinging past the porthole, back and forth. He looks terrified. Then he stops swinging past the porthole, and an empty guideline starts swinging past the porthole.
I'm going to run up on deck.
That's fine. So running up on deck, everything seems okay. No one seems to be panicking. One of the crew comes over and goes, "Oh, it's fine."
What happened? Why is he over the side? Where's he gone?
It's okay. Your friend had a bit of an altercation.
Who?
It's fine.
And they dumped cooking oil over him.
Wait, what?
So
what happened?
It's okay.
No, what happened?
He's covered in oil. It's hilarious.
Who?
Everything.
No,
fine.
Explain it. What the heck is going on?
The captain. This obviously is jumped back a bit. The captain has already been dealing with this. Comes over and just goes, "Your friend Sir Bertrand was causing a bit of trouble.
What did he do?"
"Everyone's fine."
"What did he do?"
"He had an accident with one of the passengers. Everything is fine."
"I'll murder the treacherous snake!"
"Give it a second,
Zolf." I'm gonna try and, like, dash for the guideline.
"He's learning his lesson."
"I don't care! He deserves a more terminal one!"
Sasha at this point is, if this is before she went away to get the snack, is leaning over the edge, still, like, looking down, just giggling occasionally. Mm-hmm. Folded arms, rested on the guideline. You've never seen her so relaxed.
You basically see Bertie at this point is still...
I'm gonna try and undo the guideline. While just frothing him out, like, "I have had it with his constant endangering of the people that I like and love. I have had it with his arrogance, and I have had it with all of his complete rubbish that he keeps doing."
Like, just grabbing at the guideline.
No, Sasha holds you by the shoulder.
Bertie doesn't hear a word.
I'm not even gonna bother the roll. What does happen is eventually, once they spot what's happening, the entire deck crew come over. You do not get a counter combat maneuver check. They bodily pull you away till you are on your back with about 7 or 8 of them holding you up.
Standing over you eating a snack. It's all right, Zolf.
They pull you to the mast and tie you to it.
I've got freedom of movement.
Okay.
Thanks for those legs.
Yes. Okay, so as they're beginning to try and tie you, most of them reach down to grab your legs to stop you running, and just you step straight through and can run back. Give a quick roll. Lucky. So you charge back. Sasha, give me a combat maneuver check, because I'm assuming you're trying to stop Zolf. You need to give me a combat maneuver roll as well, Zolf.
Is that CMD or CMB?
CMB.
17.
10. You are making real headway. Sasha, you then see the captain holding some weird device in her hand, just kind of gestures for you to step away.
Zolf, I think you need to hand this over to the captain.
I'm gonna kill him!
A small little ball-shaped device rolls between your legs
You're
halfway through doing the guideline. Give me a fort save.
27.
At which point...
Oh, sorry, 26.
So the kind of arrogant, at-ease air of the captain having thrown that at your feet starts to fade as you continue on doing the guideline.
Come on, Captain Earhart. Harlequins help Harlequins.
She steps forward, pulls a gun, and just places it on Zolf's forehead and goes, "Zolf, listen, you really don't want to do this, and I really don't want to have my crew, like, literally knock you out."
Mate, just calm it. He's really useful. We've learned to manage him.
Is he?
No.
Yeah, I mean...
He's not that useful.
Well, I mean...
What's on your back?
Well, like...
What did he do to the dog?
That is...
How has he been useful?
Well,
explain to me.
He's caught quite a lot of bad people in half.
I can get a brick wall with wheels on that would be more useful than he would.
There's a brief moment as you're doing this where he swings back and forth beneath the ship again.
I mean, yeah.
You cannot have him. Everywhere he goes, he tries to murder somebody.
I mean,
well, maybe he gets a bit of a taste of his own medicine.
I'm pretty sure that's what's happening right now, really.
Yeah, I know.
You ever frozen to death? It's very slow. Very, very painful. And then kind of not painful towards the end, admittedly. Yep. Another swing back and forth.
Look, mate, it would really upset Hamid. And Hamid's a nice guy, right?
It would upset Hamid.
Zolf, I'm going to make you a deal. She puts the weapon back and she just kind of leans over, considering Bertie from behind. She just goes, you get to decide when he comes back on deck.
Yeah, all right.
You take your time on that, okay?
Deal.
Claps Zolf on the shoulder. Starts walking back.
Hamid puts down the book and goes,
what a load of melodramatic, poorly written rubbish! Right, he's going over the side too!
I think we will close the episode there. So, that happened. A lot of people ask me, why do I keep bullying you guys and treating you so hard? Because stuff like this happens if I don't. Mm. It's worse for all of you if I don't punish you.
We had a nice day and things got worse.
I haven't read a book. I literally have no idea any of this happened.
We've all learned a lot. It's the principle of, it's the modern period. You know, there's the death of the author. Like, that's perfectly legitimate.
Killing authors.
Yeah. Yeah.
The serial death of the author.
You have favoured enemy inanimate objects. You can't get favoured enemy authors as well.
Do you just kick and you can call me.
I think we're going to wrap there, and we will see everyone next time. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at @TheRustyQuill, or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Playing
Sir Bertrand McGuffigan.
Halid Saru. Oh.
I've done it.
I know.
Consistently well
Come
for
on.
So
Come
long.
On.
Hamid Salah, Harun Al Tahan.
Lydia Nicholas.
Zolf.
Wait, no. Two nights in jodhpurs.
That's better. That's it. Two nights in jodhpurs. There we go.
Seven nights with seven brothers.
That one's a bit racier.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.